الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Kitty Genovese case of 1964 has been one that has aroused a lot of interest amongst psychologists trying to understand what are the factors that influence those who are bystanders, or those who see a crime taking place, see an injustice taking place, but fail to do anything to assist the victim of that crime. In the tragic example of Kitty Genovese, here we had a woman who one night in 1964 in New York was walking home and was followed by an individual who was bent on causing harm to that woman, and later on his rationale was, I simply wanted to know what it felt like to kill a woman. He chased her, he followed her the first time, and then there was some, the woman tried to alert people, and one individual opened his window and said, leave that woman alone. The man then went back to his car and drove off, but he later returned and he found the woman in the same kind of situation. She was walking back home and she was alone, and there was no one there to help her. And then again, she managed to repel him somehow, and so he went back again, and then he returned again the third time. By that time he realized there was no one who could help that woman, and he went all the way to her home and stabbed her just outside of her apartment, and he raped her and he killed her also. There were around 37 witnesses to that crime on that particular night in New York. At some point, at some junction, at some time, there were people, 37 altogether, who heard something and perhaps should have responded. They saw a woman in difficulty. They heard her cries, but they didn't do anything to assist her physically or anything to alert the authorities so that they could come and assist her. There have been many examples like that, what psychologists called the bystander effect, of people who witness something terrible but fail to do anything to assist. You had the 1903 example of Topsy the elephant, an animal who was electrocuted by people who wanted to test the alternating currents of electricity. And there was a massive throng of crowds who were spectators to this incident, and they saw that animal suffer, but they didn't do anything to assist. Or you have the famous 1993 Kevin Carter photograph of, and it's so iconic, of course, that Sudanese tiny child on the floor, and a vulture has perched next to it, and you see that, and it seems as if the tiny Sudanese child is trying to extract something from the floor to eat, but she's actually not. She's trying desperately to go back to camp, but she's walking, but she can't because she's kind of crawling and it's taking her so long. Kevin Carter waited 20 minutes for that vulture because he wanted the vulture to spread its wings wide, and he wanted that to be contrasted against the weakness and the smallness or the small figure of that Sudanese child. And he waited 20 minutes to do that. And later when he was asked, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you want to assist that Sudanese child? Although he did make an effort to repel, of course, the vulture, which was very good, but he simply said, I didn't want to get involved in that, which is another excuse that people make for not assisting those who are victims of an injustice. And then, of course, you have the very infamous case of Shanda Shearer in the 1990s, of a girl who was, and she was so young, 11 or 12 years old, and she was tragically lured out of her home by other girls. And when she was in the car, then they threatened her, they took her to a secluded area, and they tortured her, and they abused her, and they attempted to kill her, they attempted to strangle her, stab her, and they doused her with petrol, and they set her on fire. And she was tragically killed. It was very, very horrible, in a very infamous case in America in those days. What makes it so terrible and tragic, of course, is that there were many people who were bystanders. There were some people who were very active in killing her, and others who didn't take a prominent position, but they still saw it happening, but they didn't do anything to prevent it because they were fearful of the consequences that could take place if they did try to intervene. And then when they informed others after the incident about what they had just done, those other people didn't inform the authorities, and it kind of went on until there were many, many a bystander to this incident. There are many reasons why people fail to respond or fail to act. One, of course, is the factor of fear, which is a human emotion or human trait of people who don't want to get involved because they fear the consequences. Or they have this idea of diffusion of responsibility. They think, well, perhaps other people should assist and I wouldn't need to assist because other people can do that. Particularly when there are so many others, like if you saw a person lying in the streets and that person is in some kind of a plight, would you help him or her or not? You might think to yourself, well, there are so many hundreds of people who are not doing anything, so you feel less responsible by their apathy and by their passivity. You think, well, it couldn't be that important if I didn't help them. Or you might have what the psychologists call audience inhibition, which you might feel embarrassed if you try to assist. You might not know how to help or how to assist another person during his or her difficulty. We should remember that although fear is a natural human emotion, it should not be the preventative factor. We should not allow ourselves to succumb to all these insinuations that prevent us from trying to do something to assist. If we are incapable or unable to help a person immediately and do something physically, then at least we have the capability and capacity to say something that might repel someone who is aggressive, that might repel someone who is bent on harming another person. Or if we can't even do that, at least we can alert those who might be able to assist, might be able to help. The idea is that we can definitely do something that can help people to prevent them from harm and an injustice taking place. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us that. He taught us in the specific hadith, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran," whoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. And if he's unable to do so, then let him change it with his tongue. And if he can't even do that, then let him hate it within his heart. And that is the lowest level of faith. But the idea is still that there are capabilities that we have, human capability. We have strengths, we have abilities in speaking and trying to prevent an evil taking place. The Prophet reminded us that kullukum ra'in wa mas'ul an ra'yati, all of you are shepherds. And this means then in the domain of our human responsibility, whether we're at home, whether we are fathers or sons or siblings, or whether we are mothers or wives even, we have the responsibility to ensure that no injustice takes place in our specific domain. If we're in society and we're amongst people, we should not let this diffusion of responsibility take over, where we think that other people are responsible and it makes me therefore less responsible. Islam teaches us differently. Islam teaches us that we are all individually responsible for one another. And nor should we allow ourselves to have this audience inhibition where we think, if I was to help another person in his difficulty, I might not know what to do. There are many insinuations and many whisperings that might prevent us from doing something, but these are all insinuations, right? In essence, we know within ourselves that there are many things that we can do. So the next time we see a person in difficulty, in the streets, lying in the streets, we should take it upon ourselves to want to help that person. If it simply means asking them, are you okay? Do you need any help? Is there anything I can do to help you? Or calling or alerting the authorities or the ambulance or the police just to make sure that this person is not troubled or is not harmed. If we see an injustice taking place, we have the human responsibility to assist a person. And it could be something that is very small. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was known to help people even in the small troubles that they encounter. For example, if you were to walk the street and you see an elderly person carrying heavy bags, that person is burdened by those bags and he's elderly and he's frail and he's weak. Do you not have a human, Muslim, Islamic responsibility to assist that person? Islam teaches you, yes, you do, that you would approach that person and you would ask them, would you like me to carry those bags for you? Because in some respects, it is an injustice because that person's being troubled, is burdened by those bags, and you have the responsibility to assist and to do something. May Allah never make us bystanders, those who witness an oppression and injustice, something that is wrong, out of place, and we simply become passive and apathetic, and we simply look at it, but we don't do anything to respond. Whether that injustice is a big one, or if it's a small one, may Allah make us of those who are active and do things to help other people in their difficulties. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.